We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have called each of us to be a part of your kingdom. You have called us to live in the power of your grace. You have called us to share the good news. Help us to see in our lessons today how you work in our lives. Help us to see that we are all called to share that good news with one another. Through the power of your word, lead us to a place in our lives where we too can say, "Here am I, send me." Amen. The year, history tells us, is 740 BC. A significant year, if you really think about it, because in the time of things, 740 years before Christ came, Isaiah receives his commission, the vision in the temple, the Old Testament reading for the day from Isaiah chapter 6. Here we see the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. We get a glimpse of heaven at this point. Isaiah sees that glimpse. And then he sees his train filling the whole of temple. Above him, the seraphim, not just one Sarah, but the seraphim, more than one. Each had six wings. With two, they covered their face, suggesting reverence for the Most High. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. Imagine that image in the temple that Isaiah had this glimpse of. An awesome picture of our Almighty God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have that kind of an experience? And there, those seraphims called out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah, caught by surprise. Isaiah, standing there in terror, wondering. The temple's usually dark place. The temple is a very eerie kind of place in and of itself. And then to behold this kind of image. The temple was the place where God met his people. It was his dwelling place. Yes, a place of darkness. But in this moment, something totally different. The foundations of the threshold shook, we are told. A voice was heard, and the house was filled with smoke. I don't know about you, it had been me. I'd have been heading for the nearest exit. But here, God allows Isaiah to get a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of his glory, and there he stood in terror. But then who would? Who of us would not have been a lot like Isaiah at that moment? The unclean standing in the presence of the Most Holy One, the perfect God. He is not going to change. And here was Isaiah in his midst. We cannot change the fact that you and I are sinners before this holy God, but it is God who can change us. Isaiah knew it. His words are simple. "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah confesses his condition before God. Woe is me. And when we stand in the presence of the Almighty God, we too must confess, woe is me. You see, all of us deal with that sinful nature day in and day out. What is it that's tugging at your relationship with your God? Is it a lack of patience? Is it irritability? Is it sharp words? Is it a lack of trust? You could put your own words in there because that list could go on and on and on. Look at your own lies. Consider your lies day to day and the sin that affects God's humanity. It affects our world. We see it. We read about it. We watch it on TV and we see that destruction, death, and the lack of love. We see it in our community. And yes, we see it in our homes. And we see it in our church. Scripture is clear. The wages of sin is death. But it is St. Paul who says in 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of Isaiah's terror, God has a reason to come to him. One of the seraphim flies to him with those hot coals. And there, with those burning coals, takes away the sins of Isaiah. He pronounces that forgiveness that only God can give. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin has been atoned for. What precious words. Words we all need to hear in our lives day in and day out. God appears for a reason. God is there with Isaiah because now Isaiah is going to get his call to be a prophet, to go out in the name of our God. And as a prophet, he is to speak his word. And if you follow through the book of Isaiah, you see as a prophet, it wasn't an easy task. Here in the temple, there is this change from sinner to a redeemed sinner or saint, from one who is unworthy to one who is worthy to go out in the name of the triune God. But it is God who acts. It is God who calls. It is God who sends him out. Here again, we come face to face with God's real love for his fallen creation. Here we see God at work through his plan of salvation. And then you could fast forward to the gospel reading this morning as Mrs. Erickson talked with the kids about the fishermen. Maybe I should have preached on that. They were all excited. And what does that tell us? It gives us another picture, another glimpse, as they are out there on the lake. And yes, they had been fishing all night, and what had they caught? Nothing. How many times has that been our experience with fishing? And yet, Jesus says to them, let's go out, let's fish. And their thing is, hey, we fished all night, we've caught nothing, what's the point? And then there's this miraculous act of God. Not only are their nets filled, but their nets are overfilled. Their boats are overfilled. And then the beauty of it is, and so when they were all done, they realized who this was. No, it wasn't the same kind of vision, but it was a vision of the Almighty God. It was God at work. And so also were James and John and the sons of Zebedee were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats into land, they left everything and followed him. Just as Isaiah left the temple, he followed the Lord. Recognizing one's sin, we are called to go out in his name. Isaiah said it, "Here am I. Send me, send me." And yet as Isaiah went out, the people did not listen to him. God worked through him, and yet the people refused to listen to his words. They mocked him. They made fun of him. They wanted to kill him. And yes, it was Isaiah who later would find himself wondering. Have you ever felt like, who am I? How could God use me? I'm insignificant in this great creation. And yet, when you look at these kind of things, Isaiah or the disciples, in the big picture of God's creation, they were insignificant. But how God used them was not insignificant. It is God who comes to us. It is God who calls us. He offers to us forgiveness. He pours out his grace upon us. He covers our lies. And he took that group of 12 disciples and he turned the known world upside down after his resurrection. How often do we look around us and see all that we see and say, what a lost cause? It's easy for us to be a Jonah because we see those out there who we think aren't worth even saving. And as Jonah went to Nineveh, that was his problem. He saw those Ninevites as not worth it. The scriptures are filled with people giving up on God. But the scriptures are also filled with how God never gives up on us. Through confession, forgiveness, God calls us to be who we are in the world in which we find ourselves. Oh yes, he knows our sin. He knows our sin very well. Actually, he knows it better than we do sometimes. But he also sent his Son to be our Savior. Yes, if you think about it, 740 years before Christ's birth, Isaiah was called. That's a long time. But what is time in the hands of God? 2,000 years removed, does God still have a mission for us? Does God still want us to be a part of his kingdom? It's easy to get caught up in the self-gratification of a very dark world. It is very easy to live day to day and not even think about tomorrow. But as the body of Christ, we have a wonderful message to proclaim. A message of love. A message of hope. The power of God's grace at work. We need to see our God in our very midst in the darkest of times. You see, God is calling us to come together, to be his body here in this place. as we've been going through 1 Corinthians and that whole mission to see ourselves together in this place. We are to make a difference, yes, in our homes, in our church, in our community, in our school. We are to be ones sent out. We have a simple message, and that is to proclaim God's powerful grace and love and mercy. Yes, God calls each of us. How will we answer that call? Are you too busy? You don't want to get involved? It's not something I want to do? That wasn't a discussion that Isaiah had with God. He simply said, "Here am I. Send me, send me." We have a lot to do together. Will we be the ones to say, "We'll leave it to somebody else"? Or will we come together and be a part of having God move us forward in His grace? Amen.